This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
The idea of being on the ground floor and building something is attractive, and certainly just kind of going into the interview process and getting understanding for Getsy and his vision and seeing how much he's accomplished in the year. You know, I have a full confidence that this organization is heading in the right direction, and it's exciting to be part of it.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
That is White Sox manager Will Venable. And when we want to talk White Sox, we have a few different people that we check in with and like to check in with, and we will be checking in with one of them very, very soon. In an hour, Elise Menninger from Marquee is going to join us to talk Cubs. Little bit of news that happened this morning for a former White Sox player. That's Dane Dunning, who was put on waivers by the Texas Rangers. And a few different fans have texted in wondering, are the Sox going to put in a claim on Dane Dunning? Any team can claim Dane Dunning, now 30 years old. Wow, 30 years old. And can pay him $2.66 mil and have him in here. It doesn't strike me as a fit for where the White Sox are anymore. I mean, it's like, I like Dane Dunning. But he's pretty... He's a pretty standard back end of the rotation guy at this point. You should be taking a flyer on dudes with upside that you could sign and flip, or, you know, young guys with explosive upside who you could develop and keep. I don't know that Dane Dunning fits in anymore. This is Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Let's ask our buddy Chuck Garfine, who joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Good morning, Chuck. Thanks for joining us. You still in Arizona, bright and early out there?
I'm in Chicago. In Chicago. And really the breaking news here is Dane Dunning's 30? Dane Dunning's 30 years old.
Didn't that stop you cold?
I feel like I'm 90 years old right now.
I know. I was like, what? How did that happen? How did he get 30? Because like now all of a sudden he feels like, Oh, yeah, he's just one of those guys. He's one of those 30-year-old MLB lifers who will bounce around a little bit, eat innings. He's Colin Ray, you know? He's just going to – he'll eat innings. He'll be a swing guy or a five for some teams. It's no longer – boy, this guy could turn into something. It's crazy. It doesn't feel like a fit for where the White Sox are in their time frame, does it?
I'm kind of disagreeing with you because, okay. Well, first off, who was the bench coach of the Rangers last year? Will Venable.
Oh, there you go.
Obviously, the White Sox have experience with him. Ethan Katz, I believe, yeah, he overlapped with him.
Sure.
And with all the injuries the White Sox have had, and a lot of their injuries for pitchers, starting pitchers, are more in the AAA, AA range, but they just don't have a lot of depth, or certainly as much depth as they thought they were going to have coming into the season. So
okay.
I would put a claim on him. They got to get through the season. And, you know, fortunately, like the main guys, although Thorpe was supposed to be ready about mid-April, and obviously he needs Tommy John. But I would definitely go down the path. And listen, he's been pitching in Cactus League. Scouts have seen him for the White Sox. So maybe they see something. Because, I mean, listen, there's a reason why the Rangers are letting him go. He didn't pitch very well. Maybe they see something. Brian Bannister sees something that could work for Dane Dunning and the White Sox.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, it's a 5.17 FIP, fielder independent pitching, last year to go with the 5.31 ERA. So that means that the numbers were deserved. They were as bad as they appeared. And that's 15 starts. It's 11 relief appearances. And he went down to AAA and was bad there too over like 15 innings. But I mean, look, if any team could take a flyer and give a shot, they can. Let's talk about that loss of depth real quick because we're with Chuck Garfine here. I mean, Drew Thorpe is going to have Tommy John. I believe Kai Bush, Prelander Baroa, Blake Larson. We'll see. Mason Adams left a game the other day with a flexor issue, and that could lead to that. So maybe you do need some big league arms just to kind of have at the ready in a get through the season type of way. I'm so disinterested in that part of the process. I guess that's just part of the exhaustion of living through another rebuild at this point.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the guys, I think it's four pitchers since spring training started that for the White Sox who need Tommy John. Mason Adams, I think they're hoping to avoid that, but he's still going to be out for a significant amount of time, and he was someone who was going to be getting major league innings. I really like his stuff. He's not a thrower. He really is a pitcher. And now he's, you know, shelved for the season. So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned taking a flyer. The White Sox are going to be – they're taking flyers on a lot of guys. And you mentioned, yeah, guys that you can flip at the deadline, but they're doing both, you know. And, you know, there's even guys like Justin Dunn, who's a great story. And if you don't know who he is, he's a former first-round pick of the Mets. He was a top prospect. He's had all sorts of injuries in his career. Hasn't been on a major league – mound since 2022. The White Sox signed him. He's the guy whose brother plays for the Suns. Kevin Durant and him have had a bond, and he's had a great spring. He's going to start in AAA. He's one of your depth pieces for the rotation, but they are limited on depth pieces for the rotation. So Dane Dunning, et cetera, I think you're going to start seeing some guys, not some guys, but I think the White Sox will probably, if it's me, I'm looking to get some more pitchers to AAA because AA, they're going to be stacked. That's where all their top pitching prospects are going to be. I think you're going to see, if not at the start of the season, certainly by April or late April or May, you're going to have Hagen Smith, Noah Schultz, Grant Taylor all in that rotation. But AAA, I'm not sure how that's going to work out.
Grant Taylor, tell people about Grant Taylor, man, because like I think that's one of the best arms. That's one of the top two or three arms in the entire organization, even including Schultz and Smith, isn't it? I mean, this is monstrous stuff from Grant Taylor.
Yeah, so Grant Taylor was taken in the second round in 2023, I think that was. He had Tommy John, and that's why he fell to them. Then he dealt with, like, a lat injury last year, and he didn't pitch much. Well, then he made his professional debut with the White Sox in Kannapolis last year. I believe it was 16 innings, 25 strikeouts, one walk. Is that good, Matt?
It's not bad.
I think that's pretty good. So then he comes to spring training. He throws over 100. And in spring training, he had 9 strikeouts in 4 innings. And in one of those games, it was against the Dodgers, where he was facing a lot of the Dodgers' top prospects. And he threw 2 innings. All of his outs were strikeouts. He had 6 Ks. There's a lot of excitement, and rightfully so, about Hagen Smith and Noah Schultz. But, I mean, Grant Taylor, if he's not exceeding that, is right there with him. So these are 3 guys who are definitely deserving of – I mean, if you're looking at the future rotation of the White Sox, it's those 3, 2 lefties and a righty. That's Grant Taylor.
So one more arm to talk about here before we go to the other side. Maybe I'll come back to the arms. You don't know, Chuck. You don't know what I'm going to do. You know, but
I never know. Curveball, yeah, hit and run. Yes. Give me a curveball.
As you looked around last week, saw a lot of teams making decisions on their Rule 5 picks. Like, the Rule 5 draftees have to be on your roster all season long, or else they get returned to the team you took them from. The Cubs have kept Gage Workman. Another couple of teams had to give their guys back. The Sox, because of the state that they're in, are in position to keep Shane Smith all year. And I really like what I've seen from Shane Smith. Give us the background and your perspective on Shane Smith for the fans.
So Shane Smith was mainly in Double A last year with the Brewers. And the Brewers decided to, you know, they have roster configurations they got to do, and they left him unprotected for the Rule 5 draft. Because the White Sox had such a bad year last year, they had the first pick in the Rule 5 draft in the winter meetings, and they chose Shane Smith. Now, what the Brewers did not realize was that entire this offseason, Shane Smith developed a changeup. He did it himself, and he added about 2 miles onto his fastball. So when he showed up at spring training, he was throwing 97, 98 with a wicked changeup. And he faced the Brewers once, and the Brewers had to be like, wait, what's going on here? Wait, he didn't have this. So, and you throw in Brian Bannister and Ethan Katz. And it was funny with him, he had his first outing in spring training, first inning, and he looked terrible. He gave up, I think, 5 runs in the first inning, and I'm like, okay, Shane Smith is not a part of this rotation. And after that, he was lights out the rest of camp, and he faced the Dodgers. It was his second start in spring training. He struck out in the first inning Freddie Freeman, Ohtani, and Will Smith, came back around, faced Ohtani again, struck him out again. And he is going to be now. He's made the team, and we figured, okay, he'll just probably be in the rotation until Drew Thorpe gets back. Well, now Drew Thorpe is out. Shane Smith might be not only in this rotation for the first part of April, he might be in the rotation the whole year. So a great story, and someone definitely to keep your eye on for the whole season, because this kind of came out of nowhere. And this might be, I mean, the White Sox need all the breaks they can get when you're in a rebuild. And this could be a big lottery ticket that they might be able to punch with Shane Smith.
Chuck, what is your impression of the relationship between director of pitching, Brian Bannister, and Major League pitching coach Ethan Katz? How's that dynamic working, and anything to watch there?
I think it's a great dynamic. And, you know, how that works is, you know, Ethan Katz is hyper-focused on the Major League pitching staff and trying to win games that day. And Brian Bannister is looking at the entire White Sox organization from a pitching standpoint. And so he's looking at the Major League team and helping out that in that way a lot with analytics and the modern technology and pitching. Not that Ethan Katz doesn't do that. And then it goes all the way down to the entire minor league system. And then when it comes down to, oh, so-and-so is available, let's have Brian Bannister look at this guy. Or maybe we make a trade for this guy, let's have Brian Bannister look at it. They just work in chorus with each other. Okay. And what Chris Getz has done this offseason was, he's like, this is really working great on the pitching side. Let's have this happen on the hitting side. So he hired Ryan Fuller, who was a hitting coach with the Baltimore Orioles, And he's now doing the same thing Brian Bannister is doing on the hitting side. And the White Sox can certainly improve their offense. And I really hope and I believe that Fuller is going to have a big impact on what the White Sox do offensively this season going forward.
So I was encouraged after talking to some people in the offseason about the analytics department kind of being rebranded as research and development and having some more synergy kind of built into the organization after the panel, as helmed by the former Navy SEAL, had given recommendations to Chris Getz. Like, a lot of the overall structural stuff sounds really healthy to me, sounds really sensible to me. It's hard for fans to wrap their hands around, but I wondered if you could share a couple things that you have found out along the way or observed along the way that fans should be encouraged by, if there are a couple, you know, big picture things in your mind.
All right, so it's not exciting to fans when you talk about a director of hitting, a director of pitching, research and development,
I know,
technology. They want, you know, White Sox sign blank. White Sox acquire blank, and you're excited about the players because you want to see the players. You don't want to see the technology and the research and development. You know, that doesn't really sell tickets. But, you know, I talked with Chris Getz last week. He's on my White Sox podcast, and, you know, he mentioned R&D a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what happened was, like, the White Sox fell behind, and there were things that were missing from from an organizational standpoint that they really, really needed to fix, advance. And a lot of the work that has been going on behind the scenes, I think, is going to put the White Sox in a better position to succeed going forward when they're ready to win again. So that involves, you know, hiring Brian Bannister, hiring Ryan Fuller, stealing Walker McKinven from the Brewers. He was their run prevention coordinator. Again, White Sox fans, how excited are you that they hired a run prevention coordinator? I don't know. But if you look into the weeds, and the White Sox lost, I think, 55 games by 2 runs or less last year. When you have someone like Walker McKinven, who's now going to be their bench coach, I mean, you have to win. They have to win very creatively. And that's actually a word that Chris Getz used. They do not have a lot of power right now. I mean, they need to, they're moving in that direction to find power, develop power. But for the 2025 season, they got to find a lot of different ways to win ball games. And from an offensive standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, it's going to be to be creative. And I think the White Sox were very good. Actually, I know they were not very good defensively. And not just with the players that they had, but they were not great in the doing shifts and really looking at the matchup that day and making sure that whatever, even if they lacked the talent that the other team had, there are ways to win baseball games despite that. And the White Sox have not been very good at that. So I think they have a lot of things going on with them from a technology standpoint, analytics, coaching standpoint, and yes, some players too, who they've added, like Josh Rojas, real good defensively. Matt Tauchman, much better defensively, and they can work counts. I mean, there's a lot going into the soup, but the White Sox, I don't know how many wins they're going to have this year, but I think they're going to be more competitive on a daily basis because of all the little things that they're doing behind the scenes.
And the behind-the-scenes stuff is easier to sell, easier to buy when it's being done by Theo Epstein in 2012 with the Cubs, or even when it's being done by Rick Hahn in 2016 with the White Sox, or 2018 with the White Sox, because fans had an appetite for it. This is very soon to be hearing about it again, and hard for people to wrap their hands around. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Let's talk about the big league players. Let's talk about the big league players. You mentioned some of the vets. Like, I agree, Rojas and Tauchman, good, solid vets, and they can instill some good work habits, and they will be a better brand. Those guys will probably provide a better brand of baseball to watch than some of the vets that were here last year. But among the kids, among the young players that matter, who should a fan look forward to on this team? The under 30 set. Give me a guy or two that fans ought to look forward to in your mind.
All right. So I'm thinking through this, and you know, as I watched every single spring training game and was around, I think as painful as the Garrett Crochet trade was, and I'm just watching spring training baseball, so I have to couch this a little bit, I am really liking the return the White Sox got for Crochet. I saw a lot of Kyle Teal. Yep. And the catching situation is very interesting because you've got the most depth in the history of White Sox baseball, the catcher position. Max Theis, Omar Narvaez, and Corey Lee. Two of those guys are making the team. One is not. All three are deserving to make it. And then you have Kyle Teal and Edgar Caro in AAA. They are coming. They are the future, I believe, of this catching position for the White Sox. Kyle Teal is everything you want in a catcher. Plate discipline, power. They love, pitchers love throwing to him. He's a great competitor. He's got all the intangibles, personality. He's not going to start with the White Sox on opening day, but he will make his way here for sure this season. Left-handed bat. I really am excited about him, but you have to wait a little bit on him.
Yep.
Chase Mydroth is struggling offensively. He was also in that trade. And I was told that the Red Sox really did not want to give up Mydroth. But the White Sox got him. He had a .437 on base percentage in AAA last year. Mm-hmm. He's got 8 walks, 8 strikeouts so far in spring training. He's really smooth defensively. He's a short dude. He's only like 5'7", 5'8". But, you know, I don't have the stats in terms of range at shortstop. I think he's more of a second baseman. But he's just a freaking gamer. And the Sox love his attitude. And he said his favorite statistic, I've never heard a player say this, actually. His favorite stat is runs scored. He just wants to get on base whatever it takes, and he wants to score for the team. He doesn't like RBIs, doesn't care about that. He wants to score runs for the team, however you do that. And then there's a guy who's so under the radar right now, and White Sox fans, you got to watch him. His name is William Bagola. They got him at the deadline in the Tanner Banks trade, and the Phillies had a lot of like middle infield guys, and the Sox got him. He was like a 15th-ranked prospect with the Phillies. He was the talk of minor league camp and, in a way, the talk of major league camp because every opportunity that he had to play in a major league game, he made something happen. His baseball IQ is off the charts. First at bat in spring, he's never been in a major league spring training game. He's 20 years old. He's a left-handed. He's a switch hitter maybe. I don't know if he's – anyway. Yeah, he's a switch hitter. Lays down a bunt because the third baseman's playing deep and he gets a base hit. First start against the Padres, hits a two-run double against Dylan Cease. Was in a minor league game against the Dodgers. He's facing Dustin May of the Dodgers, just getting some work in. He had 2 hits off of him. William Bergola, watch him take a big leap in the White Sox system. That's another guy to watch. So a lot of guys in the minor leagues and in the major leagues, you're going to see the future coming this year. Those are some of the guys that, off the top of my head, who I really like.
Chuck Garfine, you're the best. Thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate you. Enjoy the week. Enjoy opening day. You're the anchor now, right? You're not the reporter. Set the scene for us for CHSN this week.
Yeah, so we've got opening day on Thursday. Ozzy and I are back. The TV mayhem is back in your life starting on Thursday doing the shows. We're going to be adding Connor McKnight and Brooke Fletcher as sideline, or they call them field reporters, to the broadcast with John and Steve. We've got a team, a White Sox team of experts for you. So we're really looking forward to it. And we're going to be joining the broadcast and looking really forward to a new season. Sox fans, hang in there. Let's just forget about. Actually, I took a baseball at Camelback Ranch. I said this symbolizes the 2024 season. And I was like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. And I threw the baseball over a mountain. So it is gone.
There it is.
The 2024 season is gone.
Hey, man, you and Ozzy make great TV. I hope you're still allowed to say everything that you guys say. It is very, very good stuff. So we look forward to it. Thanks, Chuck.
All right. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it, Matt.
You got it, man. That's Chuck Garfine right there. smart White Lotus fans will notice Uncle Rico playing the role of Greg on the White Lotus this season. That, yes, that's your guy. That's Uncle Rico, for anybody who didn't put that together. An absolute cultural treasure in Chicagoland has stepped into the baseball fray, and I need to make sure you're aware. We'll do that next on Hit and Run on the Score.
Nope. Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
No player who throws a ball game, no player who undertakes or promises to throw a game, no player who sits in conference with a bunch of crooked players and gamblers, where the ways and means of throwing a ball game are discussed, and does not promptly tell his club about it, will ever play professional baseball again.
One of my absolute favorite places in Chicago is the Music Box Theater, the movie theater up there on Southport between Addison and Irving. I love taking people there who have never been there, especially when it is in its full bloom. And all month long for their Play Ball baseball film series, it has been awesome. You've got one more chance to attend a movie there this morning. And oh, by the way, the rest of the day after this movie that's playing, Eight Men Out, which you just heard a cut from, the brilliant John Sayles film about the 1919 Chicago Black Sox, there's another thing happening later in the day that I'll be there for a little bit later in the day. But let's talk about it right now on the Circus Sports Hotline is Jeremy Martyr, one of the managers over at the Music Box Theater and the guy behind this outstanding baseball film series at the Music Box, joins us now on Hit and Run. Good morning, Jeremy. What's happening?
Good morning, Matt. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So 11:30 this morning, Eight Men Out is playing in, is it glorious 35 millimeter or is it 16 millimeter for Eight Men Out this morning?
It's going to be on 35 millimeter. The print looks amazing. They were just inspecting it last night and showing me frames from it. It's a print from when it came out and it still looks, spectacular.
Wow. That's awesome. What has this been like to have all these films there? And again, people, if you're looking for something to do right now and you know where the Music Box is, or if you're just in the city and you want to go see Eight Men Out on the big screen, head over right now to Southport and go see it. It'll be worth your while. The popcorn's awesome. In fact, tell people, is it going to be like when I was there for the Bull Durham screening a few weeks ago with the organist doing his thing and the concessionaires walking around, Jeremy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been having a lot of fun with it. We've been trying to create like a ballpark environment in there. Dennis Scott, who's our organist, has been doing a great job. We had an idea that we'd go up and down the aisles with peanuts and Cracker Jacks, which has just been a blast. We've been taking turns as a staff going up and down the aisles, selling peanuts and Cracker Jacks, being competitive with one another and having a good time.
How have you done? Have you sold a lot of peanuts and Cracker Jack? What is your methodology?
There's a few other people on staff who were a lot better than me because I kept getting distracted. But, there's people on staff who are there for it and they were locking it down.
Yeah, I got to say, man, the fact that you're selling the peanuts not in the shell is it's a little cowardly. Are you afraid?
It's the same.
Yeah. are you afraid of shells all over the floor? I mean, granted, you don't have the leaf blowers that Wrigley and Guaranteed Rate do.
We got reined in. I definitely pitched the regular ballpark peanuts, but our staff was like, we don't want to clean that up. And you know what? They're kind of right.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get it. So Moneyball has played. Bull Durham has played. I was able to do like the intro talk before Bull Durham, and that was so much fun. And like there were so many people there. wearing baseball hats, wearing their team's hats. It's like you've happened upon something. You realize this, Jeremy, like March in Chicago, as people are starting to smell it and feel it, this play ball film series, it has to stick around, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's in the air. We all want to, you know, be outside. We all want to be at the ballpark. Friday for Ethos, we had a hot dog truck outside, and we all just wanted to, you know, we want to go in the stadium now. We want to watch them. So that's why it's such a good time to play these movies, and it's been such a blast.
I want to ask you about Ephus in a minute, but you can be honest with me. How much better was my pre-film talk for Bull Durham than every other pre-film talk that you've had so far? You can be honest with me about that.
You know, you did an incredible job. The laying the groundwork for the movie is such an important task. You know, you have to really set people's expectations, and your talk about how baseball is about failure. Even the best players fail at baseball was up there for me. We had someone, Cheryl Ray Stout, who's a reporter on WBZ, came in and did A League of Their Own. She was great too. And today we have an author, Noah Gattel, who's he wrote a book called Baseball the Movie, and he's a fantastic, you know, he's going to do a great intro as well.
Cheryl Ray Stout is an absolute treasure. She's been on this show before. So A League of Their Own was the other one I considered, a movie I might love just as much as Bull Durham. How did that play? And how the crowd's been for these movies, Jeremy?
You know, it's been really amazing. For A League of Their Own, we had a bunch of people come out who had never seen it before. We had people returning who love the movie, but I'd only seen it on TV. I joked before the movie that I was half imagining a TNT logo in the corner. But having the movie play to an audience is one of the great joys, is just to experience that movie with other people, you know, to laugh and cry with them. And that was just amazing.
That's awesome. So tell people about Ephus, which debuted with you guys on Friday night. Ephus Like the Pitch, Rip Sewell, the inventor of the legendary Ephus pitch, is the guy I always think of. But, this movie has gotten incredible reviews. I'll be there this afternoon to see it and looking forward to it very much. Tell people about this film, Jeremy.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a new movie. It's a completely independent film. We're an independent theater, and our sister company, Music Box Films, who distributes movies, puts them out. They picked up Ephus, and that was sort of the inception of the series. Even though I've been pitching the series since 2021, when Music Box Films picked up Ephus, they came to me and they're like, let's put on the show. And the director, Carson Lund of Ephus, was out this weekend, and he talked all about how, you know, baseball, the rhythms of baseball match so well to life. The Ephus pitch is long and slow, and it arcs, and all of a sudden it's by you without you realizing it. And he's like, that's like baseball. This movie's great. It's just about, you know, rec league players on the last day of their league because they're tearing down the fields to build a school. And so all these people who are washed over the hill come out and play one last game together. It's really funny and sad and good.
Is it playing beyond today, or is today the last chance to see Ephus?
No, it's playing for the next couple weeks at the Music Box. So just keep your eye out on the schedule. You know, we just wanted to kick things off with the play ball series, but it'll be given a good run for 2 weeks.
That's awesome. So get out to the Music Box and see Ephus. All right. So next year, I mean, there's some options, man, here. Like I love The Natural. Did you consider The Natural? It didn't make your, this eight pack, and will you consider it for next year?
Yeah, that's a great question. I sort of had to give myself parameters because my original list was about 50 films long. So I was like, I can only have one Kevin Costner movie, and I chose Bull Durham, and I can only have one that sort of deals with the Shoeless Joe Jackson story. And The Natural isn't exactly an adaptation, but it's taking a lot from it, and there's a lot of, it's an indirect adaptation. And so we went with Eight Men Out for that one, but I love The Natural. That's, you know, such a great movie. So, I mean, if we were to do this again, I have a bunch of other movies that I'd love to do.
Of course you do. My dad always asks me about Eddie Waitkus and Ruth Ann Steinhagen, which is the actual story at the beginning one of the stories that inspired The Natural, and it happened in Chicago, where Ruth Ann Steinhagen, who essentially is the Glenn Close character from The Natural, and Eddie Waitkus was a ball player, and she did shoot him in a hotel room. Spoiler alert. So sorry for the spoiler alert, but I guess that's the beginning of The Natural. So that's a setup.
Yeah. You know what, Matt? We'll have you out to do an intro, and you can prime the ground again for The Natural when we do that one.
All right, thank you very much. And I will keep my other suggestions perhaps to a minimum. But what else was on your list that you've thought about that might have made it if not for these eight?
You know, there's a movie called Everybody Wants Some, which is Richard Linklater's movie. It was sort of a spiritual follow-up to Dazed and Confused. That's about some college players. I really love that movie, and it was one of the last ones that we cut. So I would really love to play that. I'd love to play Bang the Drum Slowly, which, you know, maybe the first time we were considering the series, I was like, you know, maybe that's not the energy people are coming out for. But I think we're ready now. That's what, you know, Al Pacino says that's his favorite baseball movie. So, you know, got to trust Al.
Yeah,
there's a few others.
Yeah, De Niro's the catcher in Bang the Drum Slowly, isn't he? Young De Niro?
Yes, he is. De Niro, he's fantastic in it. You know, that's a real humanist movie. It's really about the character, which is all the 70s baseball movies are really just about the characters, less about the game.
Wow, that's a great call. And no documentaries, right? Or would you consider a documentary?
I would love to play a documentary. You know, the Ken Burns one is unfortunately a little too long, I think, for our attention spans at 10 hours. But I watched all of it in preparation for this, and it's fantastic. If we could fit a little bit of Ken Burns baseball in there, I'd love that. Do you have a documentary in mind?
Yeah, the Battered Bastards of Baseball, about the Portland Independent League team that was put together, is a phenomenal watch. Young Kurt Russell was a player on that team. The guy who invented Big League Chew was a player on that team. And Jim Boughton, the author, the guy who wrote Ball 4, the former Yankee, was a player on that team. And just crazy stories. I adore that documentary. So that would be my recommendation.
I'm adding that to my list right now. I haven't seen that one. That's a great recommendation.
Yeah, well, there's a huge pile. Jeremy, this is great stuff, man. The Music Box is a jewel, and I'm so glad you did this and thrilled to be involved, and look forward to seeing you later this afternoon if you're there, and if you're not, I'll see you at the theater another time.
I'll see you later, Matt. Thank you so much.
You got it. It's Jeremy Martyr, one of the managers over at the Music Box Theater. Play Ball, a baseball film series, is awesome. Thank you. Barbara Hershey played the shooter. Glenn Close was the girlfriend. I was trying to blurt it out fast. I hadn't thought about it, but Eddie Waitkus is the story. Eddie Waitkus is the player, right? I mean, what else should be there? That's a lot of great suggestions right there. And the thrill is being at the theater and seeing it in 35 millimeter with delicious hot popcorn and seeing it that big. I can't tell you how much joy I had in watching Bull Durham with a crowd as we all laughed together at the appropriate moments. Oh my God. And that movie just held up. The writing in Bull Durham held up so well and still does. So feel free to text in your suggestions of films, and I can pepper Jeremy with suggestions as well. It is Matt Spiegler with you on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. We'll talk to Elise Menneker about all things Cubs at the top of the hour. Also next hour, an old friends segment where we check in with a lot of former Cubs and Sox who are all over this league, and I'll remind you where some of them are and give you some context on what I think their seasons might be. Keep it right here on Hit and Run on The Score.
We're back with more Hit and Run.
No way. Too high. You said me too high.
Too high.
Not too high. Too hard, right?
First is really high.
Who gives a f***? It's gone.
On 670 The Score.
Welcome back in on 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel here with you doing Hit and Run. Taking your suggestions via text. And, you know... Oh, boy. There's a lot of baseball movies that are coming in of stuff that people are suggesting to get into that festival next year for the Play Ball series over at the Music Box. 42. 42 is a damn good movie, that from Red Leg from Sycamore, and the timing of it with Jackie Robinson's army information being taken off the government website is an interesting thing, but this will be next year that we're talking about. 42 is a real good call. There's and a lot of people correcting me on The Natural and some others getting in. Sugar is a really good suggestion. Sugar's a really good movie. If anybody's never seen that, it's about the life of a young Dominican ball player living with host families as he makes his way through the low minors, still believing in the MLB dream. And it's about what happens if you're not good enough to make the big league. So lots of good suggestions coming in via text on that one. I'll pass them along to Jeremy. It was a really, really cool thing to be over there at the Music Box. You know what they did? They let me and the Roopster and his pal go up to the projection booth. So I got to see like the 35 millimeter machines and the 16 millimeter machines and see this old projection booth with a tiny little cut in the wall where the camera juts out just a little bit, and it then the image makes its way all the way down to the screen. And then I said, "Do you have any 70 millimeter reels around?" And they took out one of the 70 millimeter reels. For those who don't know, like regular movie reels are 35 millimeter, and the 70, that's double. That's twice what the 35 millimeters are. They're enormous. They're unbelievably heavy. When they show a movie in 70 millimeter, like they did with The Brutalist a few weeks back before the Oscars, they need two people to work the projection booth so they can help carry the 70 millimeter reels so they can replace the film reels each time. It's just it's absolutely outrageous. So it was really, really fun to be up there and see that. Robbie, earlier in the show, we did bloop hits and it was really fun to do, but I, even though there's no bloop shaming on this show, I was really disappointed with what your bloop sound effect was. So I guess that is me shaming your take on bloop and,
correct,
and your work. Did you say you've rebuilt that now?
Yes, I've taken the feedback of the texters. We have amazing texters here on Hit and Run. Some of the best, I would say. Here is the refined product now.
Hold on. Do you have the original one? Do you have the original one?
No, I threw it in the trash.
You threw that in the trash. Because what I'm looking for is I'm looking for an approximation of what a bloop hit feels like when it's a crack of the bat and then it goes up into the air beyond the outstretched arms of infielders as they go back into the outfield and ahead of those infielders they come in and maybe dive. It's a bloop hit. So I'm looking for a crack and a rise and a fall. What do you got?
Here we go. The debut of the new crack and bloop.
Yeah, it's terrible. That's a trombone. I like the trombone. I like that you went trombone and not slide whistle, but that's terrible. That's not a bloop. That's like, that's like a line drive that dies. That's like a dying. Yeah, no. I need the rise and the fall because it's got to go up into the air because it goes higher than the bat and higher than the fielders. My God, you're bad at this job. I had no idea. Oh, so disappointing. I'm sure you did, but I like the idea of the trombone because when we play the opening theme music on Hit and Run and all the low brass gets in there with ba 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 ba, like the low brass has become a thing. So I'd love to give some shine to the trombone, one of the instruments out there that's like the slide whistle. You can go up and you can go down. And all of that, but wow, that's bad.
Well,
that's
as your new producer, you know, I'm aware, I'm willing to for criticism. I'm willing to learn, and I will get back to the lab and I will come back. But I just want to play it one more time.
All right, cool. Yeah, no, that's that doesn't feel like a bloop hit at all. It feels like an infield dribbler. I'm not gonna lie, you know. It's like a third baseman comes charging in and just gives up on it. That's what it feels like. He kept charging in like, oh, maybe it'll go foul. No, it won't. There's nothing I can do with that. That sucks.
I'm just hoping if I play it enough times, she'll just grow to love it.
No, I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, seriously, it's like that's a groundskeeper high five where they're like, yeah, we let that grass stay high. And one of our guys took advantage with the old infield dribbler to extend the inning. Yeah, that's horrendous work. That's just awful, awful work by you. Oh, God. Thank God baseball season is coming back. thank God the season's coming back. And we have things to get angry about, like managerial choices, like guys swinging on 3-0 counts, you know, like things to get angry about every single day. So I don't have to get angry about Blue Pit sound effects. I don't have to get angry about people who listen to full segments and hear what they want to hear, regardless of what the thoughts are from the human and the host behind it. I don't have to get angry about stuff like that. I can just live my life, watch baseball games, and perhaps get angry or counsel you guys when you get angry. As I can, Craig, counsel you when things go badly and you're angry at certain members of your baseball organization. And maybe you're going to be right. Maybe you're going to be totally and utterly, completely right. Here's something I was thinking about. It's a random thought for you. By the time the White Sox are good, okay, and it's time to invest in the final pieces to put you over the top to make you a winner, like they need their version of the John Lester free agent acquisition, right? Or even their version of the Jason Worth free agent acquisition that the Washington Nationals did when they finally thought it was time to be decent. You know, whatever it is, maybe there'll be a new owner in charge of making the decision of what kind of contract to give out, folks. Maybe the Ishbia family will be in charge. And you don't have to go into this particular Sox rebuild thinking that at the end, Jerry's just going to draw an imaginary line in the sand and not give Manny Machado 300 because he'd rather just try to give him 250 and have that fail. Maybe it's not going to be Jerry holding you back from putting the final touches on a rebuild to give you a World Series champion. So as you're watching, if you're feeling any moments of actually buying in, just hold on to that hope in the back of your mind. That maybe when it's time to finish the deal, it won't be same old making those decisions. Let's talk Cubs with Elise Menneker from Marquee next on Hit and Run.